there isn't any of us who is not aware that this is a very vital subject to every one of us. Because, you know, I'm sure all of us are deeply concerned about the daily walk and its ramifications, what it does to us in our life. Now, in the Word of God, we're okay, Steve? In the Word of God, walk is basically used in three different ways. And I want to, it's my purpose in the lessons I'll be having with you to look at each one of these. Sometimes walk is looked at in the sense of progress. That is where you're going. You're going to somewhere. You know, today we don't think sometimes of walk in that way because we kind of walk for exercise or health if anybody walks because we've got all these other motor vehicles and so forth. But let's remember that when the Bible was written and down through the centuries, really, the basic idea of walking was you walk to get somewhere. You know, they didn't just walk to exercise. They had a destination. And that is one of the ways walk is used in the Scriptures. The second way is walk, and this is really the most common way it's used in the Scriptures, is in relation to our conduct. You know, you've often heard the remark, you know a person by their walk. And we'll enlarge on that a little later, but walk reflects our behavior. And that's how it's most commonly used in the Scriptures. And our second lesson tonight, I'm going to look at that in the negative sense. You know, how we shouldn't be walking. And then tomorrow morning, we'll look at it in the positive sense, how we should be walking. And then last of all, walk is used in a third way in the Scriptures, and that is in relation to fellowship. That is, we usually walk with somebody. And it's pictured in that way. And, you know, we must agree that the most pleasant times walking is when you have company. You like to walk with somebody. And therefore we have the idea of fellowship. And that's what we'll look at in our last lesson together. Now, in our first session here, let's look at walk in the sense of making progress, getting somewhere, reaching a destination. In relation to that, would you turn to Genesis chapter 13? Genesis chapter 13, I want to look at verse 17 there. God was speaking to Abraham, giving him instructions. And in the 17th verse of Genesis 13, God said this to Abraham. He said, arise, walk in the land. Today, I suppose he would have had to say drive through the land, wouldn't he? But in Abraham's day, that would have been rather strange language to Abraham. He said, arise and walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Now here we have the idea of progress. He was to go to the land, and he was to walk in that land. That is, he was moving. He did not go to that land to sit down, to stand still, but he was to walk through the land. And he was to see the land cover the territory that God was intending to give to Abraham and to his descendants. Now that's the way we want to look at walk in this session. It's the idea of making progress, of moving. And I think it's most important in our Christian life to have this concept that walking involves movement. It involves progress. It is not something stagnant. We do not sit still. But we're on the move when we're talking about our daily walk. Now, the first area we want to think of is that we walk by faith. The pathway is unknown, although the destination is sure, isn't it, for the Christian? We know eventually where we're going, don't we? We know eventually we're all headed for heaven. But until we get there, the pathway is very unsure, isn't it? It's unknown. Who would have thought that the things that happened to us, say, within the last 5 years would have happened? You know, all of us can look back over the past 5 years and think of things that have occurred that were totally unpredictable. Things that we never expected. If somebody had told me 5 years ago I was going to be a grandfather, I would have laughed at him. Because my daughter didn't even have a boyfriend at that point. And I was, that's ridiculous. Yes, I'm going to be a grandfather. And life is, the pathway is unsure. And this emphasizes the need in our Christian life for daily prayer. This first category we want to stress, because the pathway is unknown, therefore it's extremely important for us to pray every day for God's guidance and God's direction in the pathway. In relation to that, let's look at two examples. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. Hebrews 11 and verse 8. I like this verse very much in relation to the Christian pathway. It's one that through the years has meant a great deal to me, and I'm sure perhaps to many of you. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. Now notice, his final destination was certain. He knew he was going to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. So he knew God had a definite destination for him as he went out. Notice the progress here. We're moving. We're walking toward a destination. And Abraham knew that it was a definite place, just as you and I know that God is moving us on toward heaven. We know that's our destination. But look at the second part of the verse. He went out not knowing where he was going. Quite a statement, isn't it? He went out not knowing where he was going. Now, isn't life pretty much like this? You know, who of us really, you know, say, yes, I'm going to heaven, but where are you going tomorrow if the Lord doesn't come? You don't have the least idea, do you? You know, really. You don't know what God has in store for you when you step out of that bed tomorrow morning. So that he knew his destination, but he did not know the day-by-day pathway. Another example of that is over in Joshua. We just turn to that for a minute. Joshua chapter 3. The children of Israel were getting ready to cross over the Jordan. Now, they knew their destination. Their destination here was to lay claim to the promised land that God had promised Abram. We were just studying about Abram, looking at Abram. So their destination was cross that Jordan and lay claim to that land. But did they know what awaited them day by day after they crossed that Jordan to lay claim to that land? Well, let's look at verse 3. They commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Or would you follow the ark? Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go. Okay, follow the ark, it's going to take you into the promised land. But notice, the last part of the verse, for you have not passed this way before. Okay? You're going away, you've never been before. And, you know, isn't every day like that for the Christian? We're going to pass through things each day that we've never passed through before. I've often heard people say, old age is not fun. And I'm slowly beginning to find out they're right. Because I never passed that way before. I was never old before. Now I'm slowly starting to get there. All right, it's a way that I've had to tread that I've never tread before. Some of you go off to school. You've heard lots of people talk about college and university and so forth, but you never went that way before. And you're finding out for yourself what it's really like. So we walk for that reason by faith. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Notice what it says here. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. We walk by faith, not by sight. It is a walk by faith. Why is it a walk by faith? Because we do not know what lies ahead of us in the daily walk, the day by day. Yes, we know our final destination. And we keep our eye on that goal, don't we? But by faith, we step out a day at a time. Each day in prayer must be committed to the Lord. We must ask the Lord for His direction. If we're going to survive the day, if we're going to succeed in the day, we ask for His direction. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. So we need this direction. Yet it's comforting to know, as we step out into this unknown pathway that we've never walked before, that the Lord has walked it before us. Look at Exodus chapter 13 in relation to this. Exodus 13 and verse 21. As the Lord was about to send the children of Israel from Egypt into the wilderness, a pathway they never walked before, do you realize that this whole generation that went out of Egypt had never been out of Egypt in their life? They never knew anything but the land of Goshen. That's all they knew. The rest of the world was absolutely, totally strange to them. And here the Lord was. He was going to take them across the Red Sea, out into a wilderness they'd never tread before in their entire life. But notice what He says here in verse 21 of Exodus 13. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. Notice, the Lord went before them. Comforting, comforting thought, isn't it? You might want to jot down one other verse in relation to that. John chapter 10 and verse 4. The Lord talking about the shepherd and the sheep. And it says, when He brings out His own sheep, He goes before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. What does the shepherd do? He goes before them. So it's important for me in my Christian walk to be aware of the fact then that each day represents for me an uncertainty, a question mark. I think it's important that I realize this every day. You know, don't assume that every day is a routine that's going to be like yesterday. And sometimes we get into that rut. You know, we think, well, you know, here I am, it's another day, and I'm going to go to work at 8 o'clock, and I'm going to eat lunch at 12, and I'm going to come home at 4 o'clock, and I'm going to do this at 6 o'clock, and I'm going to, you know, whatever my routine is. Dangerous assumption, isn't it? We all know that. It's happened to us 100 times. I'm sure the morning that Jennifer was doubled over in pain with kidney stones, she didn't expect it that day. Somebody said, now Jennifer, today, you know, you're going to have an attack of kidney stones. No, she thought it would be a routine day at the job. And it didn't turn out that way. And you think about it, so many days are this way. So we need to be aware, I think, each day in our Christian walk, this day is filled with uncertainties. Lord, that's why I need you. By faith, I lay hold of you to take me through this day, no matter how serious, how difficult the unexpected might be. I know that you've gone before. I'm talking to someone who's tread this pathway, who knows the uncertainty, who knows the difficulties, and is not asking me to go through anything that he hasn't already cleared for me. He's walked ahead. And therefore, the hill that I've got to go for, whatever it is, it's not too steep because he walked over it. The valley I've got to go into, it's not too deep because he walked through it. He tested the ground for me. And he's not going to lead me into any pathway that I'm not able to handle. All right, secondly, walking is never stagnant. All right? We said the pathway is unknown, walking is by faith. Walking is never stagnant. That is, we cannot stand still and walk. I know we've got those electric walkers like we have back here in this room where you can do some walking and stand still. But that's not the general concept of walking, particularly back in the days of the Scripture. When you walked, you moved. You moved ahead. You could not stay in one place. Therefore, when we think of walking, we're thinking of things happening, and we see the need for daily planning. Right? Daily prayer, daily planning. Is it wrong for a Christian to plan his day? You just said the day is uncertain. We don't know what's going to happen. There may be 100 interruptions. Is it wrong then for me to plan? No, it's vital that I plan. My day should be planned. I should bring before the Lord in my prayer the things that I feel need to be done, and I need to at least in a flexible sort of way plan my day to try to do those things that need to be done. Certainly not becoming a uptight, a perfectionist who thinks he's got to do everything that he's planned for the day, recognizing that there may be, we're going to touch on that in just a minute, that there may be some things that the Lord doesn't intend for me to do, even though I may have planned it. Nevertheless, I need to plan my day. Otherwise, my day can be very... what shall we say? It's not going to be a day in which we're going to accomplish very much. It's going to be a wasted day if it isn't a planned day. Let's just look at a couple of verses in relation to that. Genesis chapter 12. Go back to Abraham again. And look at an example here. Verse 1. The Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. So what did Abraham do? Abraham sat down in a chair, and he said, now, Lord, I know you want me to get out of the country, so, Lord, somehow move me. Here I am, sitting in this chair, and, what are you going to do? What can you do with me? No, that wasn't Abram's reaction, was it? The Lord said, get out of this country. So look at verse 4. So Abraham got out of this country. He departed, didn't he? You see, the idea of putting into motion, into movement, the instructions he received. The Lord gave him something to do, so he did it. And I think this needs to be part of our daily walk. The Lord gives us something to do, we do it. An interesting verse, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I want to weave this in because this is such an important part of our lives. And sometimes I think we fail to see it as a part of our Christian walk, of our daily walk. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 11. Lay hold of this verse, Christians. It's important for you. It'll be a tremendous verse for you. I'll tell you why. Most of you get up and go to work every day. Some of you get up, go to school. That's work. Okay? So that you get up, go to school, you're going to work. So you get up to put a day's work in. Is that part of the Christian walk? Or is my Christian walk before I go to work and after I get home from work? Well, notice this interesting verse here. Sometimes these just very common verses that Paul teaches us are so important in our life. Paul says, we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner. Well, how's that? They're drunk, taking drugs. What are they doing? That they're disorderly. Sexual maniacs? What's the matter with these guys? No, they're not working. Not working at all. They're busybodies. The Lord never intended us to sit home and loaf. He intended that each day of our life should consist of work. So I need to look on a day's work as part of my daily planning. It's very important. The Lord wants me to go and do it as unto the Lord, Colossians chapter 4. Do it as unto Him, recognizing that my master is not an earthly master, but I'm serving the Lord, and I do it to the best of my ability. So that's part of my daily planning, and it's very important that I see work as a part of my daily life. We have an example of how walking involves planning, moving, going out on God's command when God tells us to do something, moving out and doing it. If we look at Joshua again, would you look at Joshua chapter 1? We have one of the best examples in the book of Joshua of this type of thing. The Lord had told the people to go possess the land. This was their land. It was theirs to take. And notice in Joshua 1:3, he said, every place that the sole of your foot, suppose today we'd have to say every place that your car would drive. No, here we have to say, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Now notice, he didn't give it to them until their feet trod on it. Now, what does this mean as far as my daily planning goes? It means that when I go forth each day, I need to take what I've learned from the Scriptures and put it to the test during the day. That's how verses of the Bible become a part of me and a part of my life. That's how I lay hold of them, by my walk. In other words, I prove the sufficiency of Christ. I've asked the Lord to help me through the day. It's an uncertain day. I pray that He would guide, direct, and help me. Now I'm proving His sufficiency to take me through and keep me through that day by laying hold of what He fed me in the morning before I left, the night before. He has fed me. He's given me His word so that I might take from it that which I need to get me through the day. That's the whole purpose of the Bible, you know. If you think about it, the Bible wasn't given to me just to get some general knowledge so that I might just know what the Bible says. The Bible is a book that's given to me to help me through my Christian life, day by day. You know, it's a living book that's vital and that is given to me to give me the strength, the food, the endurance to get through the day. And I must learn to use it that way. In other words, learn to use what you've read in the morning. Ask the Lord, when you've opened your Bible and you've read it, ask the Lord, zero in on a certain verse and say, now Lord, make that verse real to me today. So that's part of your daily planning. You've lifted that verse out of the text for me, Lord. Make it a living reality to me today. And He'll do it. He'll make it a living reality to you. And that's part of your daily planning. Thirdly, clock's ticking by. Walking is not the fastest means of transportation. You agree? Walking is not the fastest way. If I want to get somewhere in a hurry in our day and age, the last thing I would do is walk. And here we have the importance of daily purpose. It's very important for me to realize each day to take time not just to pray, not just to read, but every day of my life to ask this, Lord, why am I here? What's the purpose? You've spared me for another day. Why'd you do that? What am I here for? Well, let's say it's a Wednesday morning. You ever do this? It's so important to do. Lord, what am I doing here on a Wednesday? Why didn't you take me home Tuesday night? What's your purpose? What do you have in mind today, Lord? Now, somebody's made the statement, and I think it's a very important one, that God doesn't keep you alive because you have a job to do, but because you have a God to know. And I think that's important to get hold of. God doesn't keep you alive because you have a job to do. He keeps you alive because you have a God to know. Therefore, when I do my planning for the day, and I want this day to be a day of activity, I want it to be a day which God can use me, yet I keep in mind that the most important thing in this day is not what I do, but what God does with me. Okay, that's the most important thing about this day. So it may be a day in which I may not accomplish nearly all the things I wanted to accomplish. And therefore, it could be a very frustrating day, couldn't it? You know, you say, this is one of these days I couldn't get anything done that I wanted to get done. But now, wait a minute. Maybe God got done in you what He wanted done. You ever think about this? You see? Maybe this frustration, maybe this impatience, maybe this discouragement, despair, is all part of God's training for you that day. And remember, it's more important what He does in you than what He does through you. Because it's only as He's able to work in you that He can work through you. And therefore, He must bring us to certain places in our life before He can really use us. And therefore, we must pass through certain experiences before we're equipped for God to properly use us. So walking then serves a purpose, even though it may seem very slow. See, it may not seem the quickest way of getting things done. Sometimes we want to rush through a day and accomplish certain things. You know, we want to be in a hurry. We want to accomplish certain things. And it seems as if we're accomplishing nothing. And we forget that God doesn't always use the quickest, the fastest way to get things done. Sometimes He's accomplishing things in us that's far more important than all the things we can get done. Each day is important to God, you know. You ever think of that verse in 2 Peter 3:8? We often use it. We say 1,000 years like one day to God. You know, time, what's time to God? We think of a whole millennium, 1,000 years. That's just a day to God. But, now wait a minute, there's more to that verse. Each day is 1,000 years to God. Each day is 1,000 years. That's how important the day is to God. He can accomplish in a day what might take 1,000 years. And therefore, I must not assume that a day is wasted because I didn't get the activities done. No, a day is wasted if I let God out of it. And I may get a lot of activities done, but if I left God out of the day, that's wasted. But if I began the day with God, and I'm conscious of His presence and His working, then the day can never be wasted. No matter how little activity I seem to accomplish. We have the example of Enoch, don't we? I wonder if we've ever looked at that example very closely. Let's look at it. Genesis chapter 5, verse 22. And I want you to compare with that verse. I think it's important to read the two together, and we're going to read them together tonight. Along with Genesis 5:22, we're going to link up Hebrews 11:5. Very important to see these two verses together. Genesis 5:22, Hebrews 11:5. Let's look at the Hebrews one first. By faith, Enoch was translated so that he did not see death, was not found because God had translated him. For before he had his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. All right, Enoch had a testimony, and his testimony was, he pleased God. Now tell me something. Is there any other testimony that you would like to have, other than to say at the end of your life, that man pleased God, that woman pleased God? You know, what better could be said? What more could we want? How did he please God? How did he do it? All right, let's look at it. And here we have Genesis 5 and verse 22. After he begot Methuselah. That's an interesting verse, by the way. He lived 65 years and had a son, Methuselah. And after he begot Methuselah. You know, some men don't begin to walk with the Lord until they become fathers. You know? Becoming a father is kind of a rude awakening. You realize that you got a little boy behind you who's following in daddy's footsteps. And it kind of brings you to yourself. And Enoch lived 65 years, begot a son. And then it says, after he begot his son, Enoch walked with God 300 years. That's a long time. And that's why he pleased God. He walked with God 300 years. Now, those 300 years were made up of 365 days each year. And what makes our Christian life is each day. And this is what we so often forget. It's not the highlights in our Christian life. It's not the week at camp or the week with a group of Christians off on a retreat, or the week on vacation, or the week when everything seems to go well, or the week when we seem to have a very special activity that we enjoyed. No, it's every day of our life that makes us what we are. This is what we fail to realize. And if I allow myself to become careless each morning, each day of my life, I develop into a careless Christian. It just happens. Because days make up years, and years make up a lifetime. And it's that daily routine that so often just becomes a dull, monotonous routine that's making me and shaping me into the kind of person that I am, and that I'm going to be for God. Fourth, walking is not the easiest way. It's not only not the fastest way, it's not the easiest way. Gasoline empowers a car. I just buy that, pump it into a tank, and it does the work for me. Doesn't it? I just sit back, let that old gasoline go to work. And it has to go ahead and pedal like crazy so I can get my car moving. And that good old gasoline, that tank, as long as it's there, it just keeps empowering me and I move along. But hey, when I go for a walk, there's no gas tank to fill. I can't just sit back and watch the gas go to work. It takes me. It takes inner strength. It takes something out of me. I have to use that energy that went into me at breakfast or lunch or supper. I've got to burn it out because I've got to move. I've got to walk. Now, let's look at Psalm 105 in relation to this. Psalm 105, verse 40. Says the people ask, and he brought quail and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. Referring to Exodus chapter 16. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 16. If the children of Israel were going to walk through the wilderness, they had to be fed. Now, here's the thing. If they were going to get through that wilderness journey, they had to be fed because they walked on foot. Right? They had not even camels, certainly no motor cars. They had to move with the strength, their inner strength, they had to move through that wilderness. And here's the shocking thing. There was no food in that wilderness to feed them. There was no. And the people soon discovered it. And they said to God, "You brought us out of Egypt. Well, we had all kind of food to eat. Yeah, we were slaves there, okay, but we had food to eat. You brought it out to this barren place. We've got nothing to eat. What are you going to do, starve us? This is what you brought us out here for, to starve us?" God said, "No, I'm going to have food for you to eat." And so, manna rained down from heaven and fed those people. Now, you and I must understand this. It is so absolutely vital in our Christian walk. We cannot in any possible way make it through this life if we're not feeding on the Word of God. We just can't do it. That's it. It's not a question of gaining knowledge. You know, it's not a question of whether I know the Bible or whether I'm stupid about the Bible. No, that's not the point. We're talking about survival. And we must look at the Word of God that way. This is my survival kit. It's not my textbook to fill my head with knowledge. It's my survival kit. I'm not going to make it without this book. That's what it comes down to. And the Christian who gets sloppy about reading this book and doesn't spend time in it, I can tell you right now, he's not going to make it. Now, for God, he isn't. He can't. It's absolutely impossible. Because there is no food down here for the Christian. There's none. This world has nothing to feed us. It has nothing to give us. Now, we talk about eating food that is not nutritional. You know, food that is just wasted calories, gives us no nutrition, gives us no food. Folks, I'm going to be hard on you, but I'm going to be frank about it. Television is the most non-nutritional food that you as a Christian can be feeding on. I'm not saying that television's all bad, that there's not some good things in television, et cetera, et cetera. But I'll tell you something, it's never going to feed you to get you through this life. You know, it's wasted calories. It will not give you the nutrition to give you that inner strength, vitality you need. And if you're substituting time in front of the set for time in front of the book, you're in trouble. You are in big, big trouble. And I can tell you that through experience. Because I wasted a lot of years of my life in front of the tube. And I was in big trouble. So, it's important that we get to the Word of God. And notice here in Exodus 16, verse 21. So they gathered every morning. Okay, there's the first point. They gathered it every morning. It stank if they held it over. So Tuesday morning's devotions will not give me strength for Wednesday's day. No way. This won't do it. Generally speaking, you know, that is as a practice. I know sometimes God is wonderful. God is faithful. God is He overcomes our weaknesses in so many ways, and sometimes, you know, we get into jams where we have to start a day, and there's no way we can get to the book, because it just happens that way. And so many times God does use yesterday's food and the week before to bless us and help us. But we mustn't make that a general rule and principle in our lives, right? We must accept the point. You know, there was an exception on the Sabbath. God did allow them to use yesterday's food, but we must accept it as a general principle that I must gather fresh food every day. Otherwise, I become stale. Okay, let's move on. We can say more there, but time is slipping by. Last one. Number 5. Walking can be interrupted by falling or unexpected distractions. Here we have the idea. Before, we had daily preparation. We have to prepare each day by reading the Word. Here in 5, we have the idea of daily progress. That is, without interruption. If I'm committing my day to the Lord, if I'm planning it before Him to be a useful day, if I have a purpose in the day and realize that it's a day that God wants to use, if I prepared for that day by getting into His Word, then it'll be a day of progress. It'll be a day not interrupted by falling or unexpected distractions. We never stand still. We either go forward or we go backward each day. Think of that in your Christian life. Either you made progress that day or you went backwards. And you know something? Isn't it true to most of us in our Christian life, we usually know at the end of the day which side of the day it was? Don't you kind of have that feeling? Say, look at this day. I was away from the Lord. I just know it was not a day in which I felt the presence of the Lord and walked with Him. We usually know. Nobody usually has to tell us. But it's wonderful. We don't have time to get into it because this session's about slip by, but when we do fail in our walk, it's wonderful to know at the end of each day that the Lord is able to wash our feet. That's His ministry. He can cleanse us from the failings, the sin that we strayed into. So what you must do when you get to the close of the day, and you know it was a day that progress was not made. You know, it's the day you went backwards. Here's the important thing. Don't let one bad day, one that took you one step backwards, take you another step backwards. Reverse it. And how do you reverse it? By letting the Lord wash your feet. Telling him, you know, what was wrong that day? You recognize how you slipped that day. Let him wash your feet so the next day you can get on with progress. That's the important thing.